need to be in the Lord's house, but before we go any further, before we try to preach this morning, is there anything upon your hearts before we go any further? Anything at all? Our lesson text this morning, if you want to turn with us, if you have your Bibles and would like to read along, will come from the 32nd chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. And as I was studying this week, I tried to think back over the times that I've preached, and it's not been near as long as a lot of preachers. And I tried to think back of a time that I preached out of Deuteronomy, and I don't believe that I have, so I believe this will be a first for you and I this morning. A wonderful book, a lot of wonderful things in here. But what the Lord has laid upon your heart, and we'll go ahead and give you maybe our thought this morning of what the Lord has given us, but it is there is a reason we take this so seriously. And I want you to keep that in mind this morning as we try to deliver this message. The 32nd chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, and we'll start with the first verse. We're going to read probably about 14 verses this morning, so we ask that you would bear patience with us for just a few moments of time. 32nd chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, in the first verse, it says, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak and hear. O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God." It says, "He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves, their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy fathers, and he will shew thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an angel stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock. Butter of kine, and milk of sheep, with the fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat. And thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape." And with the mistakes that we might have made, that's the first 14 verses of the 32nd chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. And if we could take for a lesson text, we may take two verses this morning. It would be the 6th verse. We'll read that again, and then the 9th verse. "Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee?" And the 9th verse says, "For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance." And I told you that our thought this morning was, there is a reason that we take this so seriously. And you may wonder, well, preacher, how in the world did you get that out of those verses of Scripture? I thought about this week, and I have gone over in my mind, and I believe this morning, and I want to make this disclaimer before I get too far in, I believe that salvation and God's people should be some of the happiest people that there ever has been. I believe that salvation makes us joyful. It gives us a new lease on life. It changes our attitudes. You've heard me say that many times, and I truly believe that salvation does that. But I believe there's a very serious aspect to being a child of God. I believe there's a seriousness about us that makes us understand, and it should make us know that our job before us is a serious job. You know, I've thought many times about this world, and I know every single one of you are all obviously aware of the things that take place. I'm not going to give you a rundown of all of the things that take place
many people that know it, you ought to know better than I would. But you ought to know that there's a lot of things that people don't take seriously anymore. There's a lot of things that people have let slip by. I want you to know that this morning that church and God, they don't take those things very seriously anymore. You can drive by some of these modern church houses and these modern places, and you can just look at the way that they act and the way that they dress. They don't take the things of God very seriously anymore. You know, I've thought many times about, and I've watched and I've looked at some different things this week. And, you know, I looked at a church here in Nashville, and I'm not going to call its name. It's one we definitely will not fellowship with. And, you know, the preacher, he comes into the church house, and he wears a t-shirt and jeans. He's the preacher. You know, I believe that God gave his best for us, so I think in return we ought to give our best to God. And I want you to understand this morning, I'm not worried about how people dress. I want people to give God the best that they have. And I believe that the job that God called a man, is a very serious job. There's a lot of people today that don't understand the seriousness behind preaching the gospel. There's many today that will stand in our ranks and they don't understand the seriousness of the task of the job that is before them. I want you to understand this morning that the thing that we're doing, the life that we're living, is a very serious matter. And I thought about these verses of Scripture and the questions that he asked those here. You know, I believe we can know and read over in the Scriptures. We can read over in Genesis. In the 33rd chapter, we know who Jacob was. We know his story. We know how he got to where he was. I preached to you last Sunday about Joseph and the life that he lived and the way that he got to the point that he did. But Jacob also had a very interesting life. I want you to know this morning that this portion, this people that he's talking about, it's the Israelites. Jacob had his name changed to Israel. The Lord, I remember, if you read over the Scriptures, Jacob wrestled with an angel. I believe it was the Lord. Some people say it's an angel. I believe the Lord wrestled with him. And after that wrestling match, there was a prayer that took place. And the Lord and Jacob began to promise each other things. And I want you to know this morning that Jacob's name, as we read over the Scriptures, we read about Israel. And we read about the descendants of Israel. I want you to know the descendants of Jacob. And when we talk about this Lord's question, I believe every single one of us this morning that have been saved by the grace of God, I believe all of us belong to the nation of Israel. And you may say, preacher, how do you get that? You see, I believe that every person that has been saved by the grace of God has been circumcised in the heart. And I believe when that circumcision takes place, it makes us spiritual Jews. Now, I believe that Israelite children, I believe they were special people. I believe God set them aside. I believe they were a chosen generation. I believe they were a chosen people. I believe you and I this morning, they're members of Mount Calvary, members of God's church. Those of us that have been saved, we're a chosen people. I believe God chose us. You may say, preacher, how do you get that? Brothers and sisters, I want you to understand this morning that every person that has ever lived, you know, there's a group of people out there today that believe in a predestination salvation. I don't. Because I believe and they teach that God chooses certain people to save. I want you to know the Scriptures teach different. They teach that He came to seek and save that which was lost, and every person that has ever lived will become accountable. Was died for by the Lord. You know, I believe when we were lost and we don't understand some of the things that took place, I know that my feeble mind can't wrap around what God did for me that night. But I believe the night that He saved my soul, He came looking for me. He came looking for that lost sheep. And we can read up in the New Testament about a parable of the lost sheep and how He left the 99 and went looking for the one. We don't realize lives, the seriousness that God has for us. You know, I believe that God takes us seriously. You know, there's a lot of things that I don't take seriously in this life that we like to joke around. I love to joke around, and I tell my granddad all the time, I don't believe a thing you say until you get behind the pulpit. I don't take you very seriously until you get behind the pulpit because he likes to joke around. You know, nobody's being serious. But I want you to understand this morning that God gets serious about his people, and we should be serious about our work for him. When it says the Lord's portion is his people, what a great honor that has been bestowed upon us to be his chosen people. You may say, preacher, what do you mean by chosen people? I believe that when God saves a soul, I've told you that there's something that changes inside of them. It's almost a miracle that takes place there. But I believe that it's a change, and he sets them aside. And I believe that people today, even in our own churches, even in this world today, even people that claim to be saved people, and I want to use that very title this morning. There's a lot of people that claim to be saved that aren't, because people have not taken this way very seriously. But I want to say this morning that those of us that have been saved, we take something else very seriously this morning. And we all take it seriously. Sister Lisa Parker, I made mention a couple of Wednesday nights ago about the way that we take in members in our churches. You know, we do it very seriously. We make it a thing of it because I believe that being a member of God's church is a very serious thing. I believe being a part of his body is a very serious thing. And people today don't take them near as serious as they ought to. People are looking at the church and they don't take it seriously anymore. Why is that? Why God people don't take it seriously? People have looked at us and you know, I've thought many times about my membership in the Lord's church and how I have taken it seriously many times. I've neglected my church membership because I've not used it to the full extent that I have the ability to. Thought about the church covenant this week. Thought about the first time I ever joined the Lord's church. They opened the doors of the church there at Pleasant Hill in July, about 10 years ago. You know, I'd been raised up an Old Time Baptist church. I knew when you got saved, you're supposed to join the church. You know, I remember people would be very serious about their church going. You know, people today, you know, they're kind of lackadaisical on church going. They say, well, you know, if I feel like it, I'll go. Brothers and sisters, I believe that God's house is a very serious place to come and worship. I believe it's good. And over in Hebrews, it says not to neglect the assembling of thyself together as often as you think of his appearing. Brothers and sisters, as the day draws nigh, it's important that we take our church membership and our assembling of ourselves together more serious than we ever have in our lives. I remember, and I'll get back to the church covenant if the Lord will allow in a few moments of time. But I thought about how those people that would come talk to me, and I was lost. You know, I remember, you know, before church, those people, you know, were almost completely different people than they were when they got in the Lord's service. You know, when the song started and the Spirit began to move, those people's attitudes changed. You know, they became a very serious people. They became a people that were concerned about those that might be around in the lost. I wonder today, and I look at myself, and I wonder how serious I am about these lost that are around me. I remember them coming to talk to me, the look on their face was one of seriousness because they knew that my life fell between heaven and earth, and it was something that I had to get straight, and they wanted me to have it. They were serious about me finding that. There was an urgency about them. And I look at myself today and I wonder, is there an urgency about what you're doing? And I thought about our service. On this afternoon at the Williams House, we ought to be so urgent about this opportunity that God has given us to go and speak to a man that does not have a salvation experience. It's a very serious matter, life and death, eternity in heaven and hell. It's a very serious matter when this world was telling them that the Lord's person is his people. He's talking about a very, very serious thing. You know, I believe he was talking about that inheritance that Jacob had. You know, if we remember the promise that was made to Jacob, that his descendants would far outnumber the sands on the seashores. We remember that promise. We know that God makes promises with his people. You know, and I believe they're serious promises. You know, there's some times in my life that I make a very sincere effort to make a promise, and I try to uphold my end of it, and sometimes I just can't. But I believe when God makes a promise, he makes that promise with every sense of intention to keep it, because God is just. If we read the first part of this lesson again, we would see and realize that the song of Moses that was written here, he was talking about a just God. And I believe this just God that we have is a serious God. I believe you and I are in the hands of a very serious God. There was a sermon that was preached, and I entertained it and studied it all through school and out through college. It sin is in the hands of an angry God, and I believe this morning that we're in the hands of a very angry and serious God this morning. I believe that God's people have got to have a sense of urgency about them, because I believe that God is looking down upon this world, and he sees his people, and he sees the things that they're going through. He sees the attacks on the church. He sees the things that are going on in our nation and our world today, and he sees that his people are coming under attack. Now, I want you to realize there's a lot of things that they went through in Bible days, and if you read over in the Trail of Blood and over in the Fox's Book of Martyrs, now there are some people that took this way very seriously. They took the Lord's chosen people, and I believe, if you read over in the New Testament, many times when in reference to a chosen generation of peculiar people, he was talking about Israel. They were referring back to Israel, and they were realizing the promise that God had made to them, and I believe God's promise is one that's still serious and it still applies this morning. You know, I thought many times about how Israel, I preached it here, and I guess I'll preach it as long as the Lord will allow me to. But Israel, many times, they would look at God, God would make a promise, and they would run and go in the opposite direction that God promised them. He says, if you'll do this, I will help you, and they would run away from that. I thought many times, if they would realize it, and I look back on myself, and I thought, realize that God was really serious, and he was, if he's being serious with me, that I would take heed to it, and I would adhere to what he's given me. You know, there was not very many times that I got in trouble as a child. I was, I guess, by most aspects, I was a pretty good kid, if I were to be honest, or I thought I was at least. But you know, when my parents, when they got stern with me, when they I've done something wrong, I was out of line, I did something I shouldn't have done, and my dad's here today. He didn't have to go to me very much, but he ever said something, I knew that it was the Lord, and I brought it back by it. Because I knew that he was serious, and I talked to him, and I looked at his phone. There's a reason that we take this so seriously. You know, there are many times in our lives that God says things and we kind of brush it off. But God, is that really what you want me to do? And surely not. And we go on and we continue on with our lives. God's voice will get a little bit louder. Is that really what you want me to do? And we'll brush it off. If I'd done that to my parents very long, I was going to end up with whipping that I didn't want. I told you I didn't get in trouble very often. If I didn't listen, I got my whipping, and I didn't enjoy it at all. But I always knew that it wasn't a threat. It was a promise that if I didn't live up to my end of the deal, there was going to be some trouble on the other side of it. You know, I thought many times about my spiritual life in the exact same manner. I've thought about how I sometimes don't keep up my end of the bargain. I promise God I'll do all of these things, and my intention is to be serious. But there's sometimes that I'm promising the Lord things, and I'm thinking, there's no way in the world I'll ever be able to keep that one. Lord, if you'll help me this time, I'll do this or I'll do that. I don't believe you bargain with the Lord. I truly don't. I don't believe there's a bargain you can make with the Lord, because God's ways are higher than our ways. But as I told you, there's a reason that we take this so seriously. There is a reason behind why us as God's people take this church, this gospel, this way that God has allowed us to act, there's a reason that we take it so seriously. And that's because of the God died for our sins. You think, preacher, that's a very trivial thing this morning, or that's a very easy answer for you to follow upon. But you think about that this morning. The reason that we take this so seriously is because a guilty man's life was taken for you and I. For this church that's here this morning. For this gospel that we have this morning. The reason that we take it so seriously is a man had to shed his blood so that we could have it. So that we could be free. So that we could be saved. So that we could have a church of adultery. So that we could have a love that would be true and still live for us today. There's a reason that we take this so seriously. You know, I think about these places today, and they don't take this gospel seriously. They don't take the name of God. They don't take the preaching of the cross. They don't take the sermon. They don't take the singing. They don't take their preaching, their praying. They don't take any of these things seriously at all anymore. People have assumed that God has lost his power. You know, people today are looking for more than just the preaching of the cross. They're looking for entertainment in a lot of things. There's a lot of things that we can't provide entertainment-wise because I don't believe that God's house and God's word is preaching, his singing, and all things. I don't think that God can provide entertainment because I believe that when we come to God's house, it's a serious matter that we should come together and worship. I believe it's a serious thing. I believe we can laugh and we can have fun. I love to laugh. You all know that I like to joke around just about as much as anybody, but when it comes down to his word and the things that we must do as God's people, it's a very serious thing this morning. Because God's people, this chosen people that was talking about the Lord's function, is dwindling fast and rapidly. You know, I thought about the seriousness of things. You know, when we come together to worship, it's one of the most important times of my week. You know, I think about when I get to come here and worship with my church family. It's important to me. It's a serious thing. You know, if I don't have it, if I don't get to experience it, it makes for an extremely long, bad week. When I can't be what the Lord wants me to be, it's a long, sad week. And I can't be in communion with the Lord. And I think that's something else that God's people, us as saved people, have taken, and we've not been very serious about our relationship with the Lord. I know that I haven't. If I'm not speaking for anybody else this morning, I'm speaking of myself because I failed many times to realize that the Lord's portion is his people. The Lord's portion is his people. Because I've been saved by the grace of God, I'm a part of that. I'm a part of his people. More than that, I'm a part of his church, and I don't take that as seriously, and I don't mean to take it lightly, and I hope that I never do, but there's many times that I overlook the things that God has allowed me to have. I told you about the church covenant. You know, that's not necessarily in the scriptures written down that way. It's not. But somebody had good enough sense to write things down that I believe God requires of his church members. That he requires us to do and not do. There's things in there that I believe are very important, and they're serious things. You know, a covenant is something that we should take very seriously. You know, because God took us pretty seriously. I've thought about many times when I went to pray that night, he could have just looked off from me and just not took my prayer very seriously. He could have looked away from me, and he could have just decided that I wasn't worth saving. You don't know something this morning? I wasn't worth saving. He could have just knocked me off into the pits of hell, and I would have deserved that. But he took me very seriously. And I think I owe it to the Lord to take him very seriously. I think I owe it to his church to take it very seriously. You know, I think about many times, you know, being the pastor of Mount Calvary, it's a great honor, but it's also a very serious thing. It's not something that I take lightly. There's been many people, and I will take this out of front one time. And she looked at me and she said, you take the church thing a little too seriously. You take a God a little too seriously. And I said, it's been so serious about me. It's been so serious about me. But to take him seriously, he's the best thing that ever happened to me. I think about in the scriptures, God gave his son the best that he had for me, so cannot take him seriously.
The Bible says that his church is a pearl, and I believe it's talking about his church. It doesn't specifically say that. I'll rephrase. I believe the church is the pearl of great price. I believe it was purchased with the blood of Calvary. I believe it was purchased for you and I. I believe my soul was purchased by the blood of Calvary. That was very serious for you and I. Won't you think about that this morning? The seriousness of Calvary, the seriousness of the church, the seriousness of our salvation. You know, that friend that said, you take the God thing a little serious, I kind of took that with a little pride. I kind of took that with a little happiness because I want people to know that I'm serious about what I believe. You know, I believe today that God's church, when it stands upon its doctrine, it's got to be serious about it. You know, we can't waver. We can't turn to the left or turn to the right on the things that we believe. We've got to stand. And Jeremiah, it says, stand in the old paths. Ask me the old paths and you shall receive them. The old paths are serious. This way that God has given us is a serious way. It's a precious way. Thought about in that sixth verse. It says, O foolish people and unwise, is not thy father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? And I thought also as well about that 11th verse. It says, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad over her wings, taketh them, beareth them up on her wings. When I think about that eagle stirring up her nest, what's she doing? She's taking care of her young. You know, a mother takes her raising her children very seriously. I believe most, if they don't, they should. I believe that that's a very serious work. But I thought about this eagle as she fluttereth over her nest, stirreth up her nest and fluttereth over her young. Spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them up, beareth them on her wings. This eagle loves her children. She loves them. She's taking care of them. I believe God is serious about taking care of us. I believe that's a wonderful parallel between this eagle making sure that they're taken care of. I believe that God, when he was talking to Jacob, if we want to read on in the scriptures, we read about the benefits and things that God gave Jacob in this land that was his inheritance. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. It was Canaan land. It was a place that was made of beautiful things. It was had everything there that they could need. You know, it talks about the things that were there. God provided for Jacob. God provided for Israel. You know, Jacob had a long lineage. There's a chart in this Bible that I looked over this week, and I looked at it, and I thought about how the sands of the sea don't compare to the tribes that were there, the children of Jacob, the children that were there, the lineage that's there will just, I guarantee you, it far outweighs most of the lineage that I will ever have. He had many sons, and he had a lot of grandchildren. There were more children that come out of those children. It just kept spreading out. Finally, it just stopped naming names because it didn't have enough room on the page to name them anymore. You know, when God made that promise to Jacob, when he made that promise about his inheritance and knowing that he would give him the land of milk and honey, that Canaan land that was there, we know about the children of Israel and how sometimes they would get bent out of shape and they would turn away from God and they would disobey God, and it's a lot like us today if you really just want to boil it right down. But you know, God made them a promise. You know, there were some people that never, that started out on this journey when the children of Israel were allowed to be released. And we talked about that a little bit last week. But you know, there were some of those that started out on that journey and they never made it to Canaan land. They never made it over there. They never made it to this place that was promised them. But you know, God still made that promise to them, and he made good on it for the ones that would come after them. And I believe this morning that us, as God's chosen people, his portion, the Lord's portion is his people. What a thought that is. He's still making good on his promise this morning. He's still serious. People today in our churches and in our world, they think that God and his church have lost the battle. They have given up. They have not succeeded in keeping up with the things that are going on in this world. They've not succeeded in being a part of this world and trying to evangelize and do the things that they need to do so that the church can grow. I believe that our people
have gotten weary today. I know many times I get very weary because I think, I look out in front of me and I see that the battle looks like it's just about lost, but I told you this morning as we got started that the victory was already won. But I thought how that God's promise is still being fulfilled today to His church. He tells them that there will be a remnant left somewhere when He returns. You know, we talked about Pleasant Hill on the 175th anniversary that they had. I'm glad that she's still there. I hope if the world goes on 300, 400, 500,000 more years, I hope that Pleasant Hill can still be standing there telling the truth. And I hope that God's church is still here at Mount Calvary, still teaching and preaching the true plan of salvation, because it's very serious. If you think about that this morning, I want you to just think about this morning about the churches in Nashville that are probably teaching and preaching the truth. In a city this size, there ought to be our churches ought to be just full and spilling over with people. It's very serious what we're facing today. We've got to take it very seriously. I believe there is a reason that we take this very seriously. And I believe that reason is the Lord Himself. Because what He done for us is serious. And it should be reflected back onto the things that we do and the way that we live our lives and in our churches. You know, I think people today, as I've told you, there's a lot of people that claim to be saved, that claim to have something, that to be a Christian, and I use that term very, very loosely. And you know, when people don't have the truth and they don't understand the truth, you know, they're still searching for the truth. And they'll go to these different places and they'll try to find what they're looking for. But I'm thankful that God can open blinded eyes. When He saves a soul, I believe He lets people know about the truth, and I'm glad of that. I'm glad that this way is still serious. You know, I've been to places where they have a full rock band as their praise and worship team, or whatever that you might want to call that. I don't agree with that. I don't think those are needful. I'm speaking from my beliefs. I believe that God can allow His people to praise and worship Him without needing all of those things. I've been to places that there wasn't a bit more spirit or God there than I could fly, and it was sad. They tried to be serious, and I believe we could read over in Romans, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved." They have a desire to work for God. They have a zeal of God, but they don't have it according to knowledge. A lot of people have this zeal. They're trying to be serious about their efforts, but they don't have anything to be serious about. I believe us as Mount Calvary, us as God's people, us as saved people, we have a very serious outlook and an aspect on our lives that this world just cannot understand. I love these scriptures, and I have read these many times. And I'm going to try to close here in just a moment. I know it's been scattered this morning, and my thoughts have may have been all over the place, but sometimes that's just how the Lord gives them to us, and sometimes we just got to preach it that way. And I'll tell you, I've preached this one all week to myself, and it's come out a whole lot differently than it's come out this morning. But you know, a lot of times, sometimes the message isn't even necessarily for the congregation. Sometimes it's just for the preacher, and he gets to preach it all week, and then he finally gets to release it out in the congregation. And sometimes it comes out in a big jumbled mess, and sometimes it comes out just exactly the way that we think it'll come out. But I'm going to tell you, when we try to follow the Lord, we've just got to do what God wants us to do. And at the end of the day, there's nothing else that I know to do than to follow Him. But thought about that ninth verse, and that is some very precious, precious words. And I've already quoted it many times today. "For the Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is the light of His inheritance." I told you that I believe that those of us that have been saved, that we're spiritual Jews, and I believe that we belong to the nation of Israel. Not necessarily physically with our citizenship in this world. And people may find that hard to understand, but if you realize what the circumcision of the heart does, you will realize that we become a citizen in that way, that spiritual aspect of things. When it talks about Jacob as the light of His inheritance, if we replace Jacob with Israel, we realize that Israel is His inheritance. The people that will come after Jacob, the people that will come through Israel, they are His inheritance. They are His portion. You know, there were a lot of tribes
that come out of there, out of this lineage from Abraham and many different things. And you know, God could have chosen any of those, but He chose Jacob. He chose Israel. And this morning, I'm glad to know that I'm a part of that. I'm glad to know that in my heart that I'm part of that. You know, it doesn't mean much, and if you look at me today, you know I'm not much. And I take that in stride. I know that because of my sinful nature, that not being much is something that we all are. But to be saved and to be His portion, what a thought that is. That someone like me could be part of the Lord's portion. If that's not a serious matter, if that's not a reason that we should take this very seriously, then I don't know what is. It's a very serious matter that we have today. I told you about the church covenant. You know, I believe when I joined the church, and I'm a member here of Mount Calvary, I believe that I am to uphold that, and I believe that that is a promise that I'm making to the Lord. You know, I believe that's a covenant that I'm making with the church and with the Lord, and I'm doing these things because I want to further the cause of the gospel and the cause of Christ. And because of that, and I believe if we'll do the things, if we'll take a church membership, if we'll take our Christian walk, our saved person's walk, if we'll take it seriously, if we'll do these things that this church covenant has outlined, and I believe it's a covenant that we make. As I told you, it's not necessarily written specifically down that way in the Bible. But I believe that's a wonderful covenant that people make. I believe people today don't understand truly the value of church membership and what a joy it is to be a member of God's church. It's been wonderful to be here this morning. That's our message. I hope and pray that it's been beneficial to someone. If it hasn't been to you, studying it this week has certainly been a beneficial thing to me. It has been a joy to be able to try to study and go over. You know, I haven't read over Jacob and his promise in a number of years. When I was in middle school at Franklin, and we had our middle school class there at Pleasant Hill, we started in Genesis and we worked our way through that. And it took us a long time to get to that promise. But I remember studying that for weeks and weeks and weeks at a time. And what a joy it was to go back and relive and remember that. If you want to get a piece of that this week, go over to the 33rd chapter of the book of Genesis this week and go through that. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing.